Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
Tracy, take your mind back to kindergarten. Can you do that?
Yes, easily. It includes naps.
That's all. That's her takeaway from kindergarten is the fact that she has
naps.
I didn't know if your internal operating system could go back that far, but I'm pleased. It hasn't been that long ago, right?
Oh my gosh, I still remember what I was wearing in my kindergarten.
Oh gosh,
it was a peaches and cream dress that was red, white, and blue.
Sadness.
That's really sad.
All right, here's what I want. I want to know if you can remember line leaders. You remember line leaders?
Line leaders. Is that like rover?
No.
Come over?
No, like today you're the line leader. You get to lead the line when we're going from the classroom to lunch.
Okay, got that.
I need a line leader or you're going to be line leader today.
Got it.
And it still happens today. They have, I don't know what they're called, but line leaders. You know, you're the one that is in the front of the line. You're leading your kindergarten class to the cafeteria or wherever you're going.
You're the CELL, the Chief Executive Line Leader.
Chief Executive, leader of lines, you could say
okay,
it that way too.
Got it.
Now, I want to know how many kids you physically shoved out of the way to be line leader for a day. You ponder that, because I know you. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. This is the intersection between personal and business growth. This is the Journey to Their radio show. And this is where I think it's okay to look back 20, 30, or 40 plus years and not feel bad about stomping little Timmy's toes to get him out of the front of the line so you can take the lead. It's leadership, right?
Leadership is definitely an intrinsic trait, that is for sure, and I was born with it, there is no doubt, and I can honestly tell you this story, which I don't think I've ever spoken out loud outside my family. So my line leader story as a kindergartner was that I was put into the line leader position, or I accomplished it by knocking someone else out or whatever, but I got my place as the line leader. And then I had a crush on this boy. And I remember it, his name's Mike Welch, and it's okay for me to say his name because he knew I had a crush on him. And so he had a lunchbox with like the NFL football field on it.
The little tin lunchboxes with the thermos inside.
Yes. And he was at the end of the line. So I shouted back to him, "Hey, Mike, how was the game?" And I got kicked out of the line. So I lost my line leader position really early on in life. That's why I had to start my own business.
I was going
to
say, I'm sure it wasn't long before you took it back. See, I think it's okay.
It is okay. And that's what I'm so just thrilled about this topic today, because our topic is all about leadership, but the twist on it, because, you know, I love a twist. The twist on leadership is that it's a party of one. So what does that mean exactly?
So was it Tracy's party?
Tracy Party of One has been going on for a long time.
Wait a minute. I don't have to leave the front of this line. This is my party. I'm the leader.
This is my party. Well, and okay, so just so we can like close the loop on my 5 to 7 year old experiences, I did leave that line to start my own business. And when I was 7, I started my very first business, and it was called Jobs Incorporated. And I was the leader, and I had all my friends work for me. I got file folders and while you're out, no. Pads from my dad's office in the 70s. And I created this entire office, and the Jobs Incorporated business was, in my opinion, the very first temporary agency that ever started. I was the leader in that space.
So were you placing little Timmy in his lemonade stand? And
I was already helping entrepreneurs when I was 7.
Were you helping out the Girl Scouts sell their Thin Mints?
Well, it was, I sold some Girl Scout cookies, don't you?
I'm sure you
know I did.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure you busted down the door and you were in their living room.
I rocked the Thin Mints. It was all about helping other people find jobs. They were imaginary people, but today, in 2016, they're not imaginary people. They can be imaginary jobs only because you're creating the vision for them. But yes, I started Jobs Incorporated when I was 7, and I should have copyrighted it because then we'd all be working for Jobs Incorporated and we'd all be happy.
And you'd have that name, which I'm sure is...
I know, which would be amazing, right?
Yeah.
So leader party of one, I will go on philosophically speaking. It is a very important message, all jokes aside, in that I want everyone as we listen and go through this episode to really think about leadership in all areas of your life.
Well, yeah.
Because I think the connotation when you first say leadership is about, you know, business and being an executive or being, a manager, an executive, a founder, an entrepreneur, a chief operating officer, all those things that come with titles. And that is one definition, but is not the only definition. And something that I've been really giving a lot of consideration to lately as I've expanded and been working with not only entrepreneurs, but I've also been working within corporations, and I've also been working with people that work within corporations and talking to them about how to either transition into their own business or transition upwards into a different position within their company. What really became clear to me is that leadership is the party of one, in that you are responsible for yourself as yourself to be a leader and set an example in all areas of your life.
Okay, I can go along with that. So it's not necessarily the idea of stomping on little Timmy's toes to be a leader and get to the front of the line.
No, it's not. And really, you know, those leaders do happen, and there are probably more than I care to consider than not.
Well, they don't have a lot of friends.
Exactly. And the kind of leadership that I'm talking about is founded on integrity and consistency and reliability. And I think those are the traits that really make this topic transition way beyond the workplace. Because when you are, for example, I mean, as a parent, and Russ, I know you can relate to this. It's like, we have even maybe mentioned this before, like when you're on the ball field, it's your responsibility as a coach and a leader to lead by example to
right.
the children, because that's what they emulate and that's what they take with them.
Absolutely. And I have a different coaching technique than a majority of the other coaches. And a lot of the other coaches will try to get their win by, I would say, stepping on the toes of the ideals of baseball. This is what we're talking about when I'm coaching. And I'm more about leading the actual kids and letting them develop into their own baseball player. And then in the end, they become a better baseball player. We become a better team.
Yes. And not only that, the residual impact or the ripple effect, if you will, is those kids are watching you. So when they're in their high school or in life beyond high school, and they're in a situation that has a competitive landscape, they're going to remember the different ways that they observed how they were taught in a competitive situation. And I just think that regardless of whether you're dealing with competitiveness or you're dealing with team building, or if you're involved in a community organization, a church group, anything, there's opportunity for positive leadership that comes with character and decisiveness. And you obviously have to have the ability to execute, but all of those things can be done in a way that I consider to be either non-traditional or unconventional, because you can bring your own twist of how you want to put your fingerprint, so to speak, mm-hmm. on your leadership
yeah.
activities. And so in your case, you were saying that you're sort of the unorthodox way that you coach. I love that, because you're putting your own fingerprint on it, but you're also making a difference in what people can learn from you going forward.
Absolutely. And it's funny, because this show represents the intersection between personal and business growth. And there's, you know, a little side dish here with leadership. And leadership also has a place where it holds the intersection between your personal growth and how it intersects with your business life.
Exactly. And that, of course, we always try to focus on in some way. But I really almost was impressed with myself, if you will, when I deducted about the similarities between leadership in your personal life and leadership in your business life, because they have so much symmetry in that you have an obligation, you have a responsibility. If it's not just to yourself, it's to the other people around you, to lead by example and to motivate and inspire. and to get people to the next level. Now, that is usually a connotation, again, that's centered around the workplace or around entrepreneurship. One of the feedbacks that I've gotten a lot on this show, which has been wonderful, is that not all of our listeners are business owners or entrepreneurs,
right.
But they can be people that are very involved in civic organizations, and that's their job. For example, a really dear friend of mine is a founder of a wonderful nonprofit organization, and she is by far a leader in that she was passionate and compassionate, and also that she took action and was willing to put her work, her resources, her time, her energy into growing this nonprofit, and also because it's setting an example to the world, because it's all about water relief. You know, there's no question that she's a leader, right? So then I happened to spend some time with a really great friend of mine that is where I live locally, and she has this, she has like a little bit of what you might call Brady Bunch family, where she has older children, but then her husband has younger children,
right.
And they're just like the most wonderful melded situation. But, you know, merged families are not always a simple and easy way to live your life, right?
Not
because
at all.
There are other personalities that need to be respected and integrated, and you want to always speak positively in regards to all of those and honoring all of those relationships. Why? Because the children learn from how you behave and how you act and the things that you say and the decisions that you make. So I've just been really surrounded recently by all these different examples of leadership, and it just, like I said, it led me to thinking about how it really is a party of one, in that the one person that can define the type of leader you become is yourself.
All right, here's my question. I'm a business owner. I come to you for consulting and coaching. You know, I need you to coach me as I get started in entrepreneurship. How do you identify my level of leadership?
Well, the first thing that I would do, and I always appreciate the great questions because they make me pause and think for a moment. So what I would find out first before I would delve into the type of leader that you would be or would want to become is I would start with a range of questions, just understanding where you are and where you want to be, because in order to determine how you get there and what leadership style you would need, whether it's within the job that you already have and you
right.
want to rise up that ladder, or if you want to transition and
start your own business.
Right. So there's some dots that I would need to connect first. But the type of leader that you are, for me, I would be able to extract that from a lot of our personal conversations, because so much of your leadership traits and qualities come through in your communication skills and your reality checks and your decisiveness, right? So those are all, again, traits of a leader and good leaders. So I would, at that point, then I would start. If you were someone who was a true party of one, which would be someone who is a solopreneur or a one-man show, and you didn't play well in the sandbox with others, and now that is not you, by the way.
No, it's not.
But let's just say, hypothetically speaking, that was you. Then I would funnel you into a direction in a business that didn't necessarily maybe involve managing a tremendous amount of people and didn't involve managing a tremendous amount of locations for your business. So I would try to keep you in a service-based business where you were the one solo operator.
You know, now, it's funny you say that, because I've worked with a handful of people who I would say do not play well in the sandbox with others, and my personality and my level of leadership did not meld well with theirs, and we ended up going our separate ways, and their entrepreneurship and ability to run a successful business kind of failed.
And I love that point, because most great leaders, and again, personally and professionally, most people that are molded or mold themselves into leaders that people want to be led by, right? You know, are because they have seen in other situations the kind of leader they do not want to be. So that opportunity then presents itself. Like, let's say, for an example, that you are involved in a situation where you know due to the circumstances logistically and because of who your manager is, that you're not going to be able to rise above that level of position pay grade. You know, you've hit the glass ceiling, so to speak. And that's okay, because if you make and embrace and accept that you're not necessarily going to go up from there, but you could go out from there, meaning that you can, it's a choice, you can leave that job and you don't have to leave it without finding another one or without your nest egg or your place to fall if you jump off the proverbial entrepreneurial
cliff.
Leap of faith, we'll say. We will not say cliff. Then you have carrying with you these character traits that are already a part of you. But in addition to that, you're carrying with you a lot of wisdom and experience and knowledge of the kind of leader you do not want to be. And therefore, what you apply in your next position or your next business or your business opportunity will exponentially grow faster because you've learned, you've shortened the learning curve, so to speak.
Now, let me have your opinion on this comment. Those who are good leaders are those who are easy to be led.
Okay.
For instance, let me give you an example. let's say I'll just put myself into a position where I worked for a company, a corporation, I had, you know, people above me, and I was easy to be led. You know, I wasn't any kind of a sheep or anything, but I made it easy for my boss. Right. I made it easy for my manager to lead me. And don't you think with that, if I can get to the point where I run my own business, which I'm doing now, that that helps make for a good leader?
It does, because you are actually, what I hear you saying is that you have experienced being led by a leader and that you interacted with them in a positive way. And so as a result of that, you receive positive feedback back. And then as a business owner, then you would respond to the employees that you hired. It's definitely like a trickle down effect, if you will. So if you are hiring people and those people are positive and they're accommodating, but they're not rolling over, but at the same time, they're easy to work with, congenial, then you are replicating the work environment of which you left in the way that you're emulating your leader, and then they are responding back to you in that way.
The other
flip side of that, too, is if you just take out the one impacts the other, and you just look at let's say in your position, for example, that you had a boss and you were a boss of other people, right? Mm-hmm. So you can also be a leader in that situation, even if there weren't any other employees that you were managing. Let's just say in your situation, because I'm going to recreate your hypothetical. Let's say in your situation, you're the employee and you have a manager that you work with and you're accommodating with, and there's also five or six other employees that are your peers.
Right.
You can be a leader in that situation by becoming a brand ambassador. So like when you're out in networking groups or out in the community on the soccer field, you're a brand ambassador for that business and you're talking about that business as if you own it, you love it, you're a part of it. And that is a way to reflect the positive environment that you're creating for yourself and for other people. And that also you can emulate the business ethics that you're operating in your company. You can emulate those in other organizations. So it's really a multifaceted question.
See, and I love the whole intersection between personal and business growth, because if you think of it, it somewhat mirrors childhood, where you're a child, your parents are the leaders, and if they are good leaders, you still have to be able to be led easily. Almost look at it this way. You have one kid that is very rough to handle, and you have another kid that's very respectful.
Did you know that about my family? I was the one that was respectful, by the way.
I was gonna ask you about that. I just wonder if there's some kind of relationship where the respectful kid will end up being a good leader, and the one that was hard to lead will end up being one of those that is not necessarily the best leader that they could be.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it's very difficult for me not to answer this in a biased way, because that literally was my brother and me. And in some ways, I was envious of his volatile leadership style in the family, if you will, because he when he was upset, he said his piece, and when he said it, he was done, and he honestly really didn't take into consideration whether or not it was appropriate or inappropriate. He just wanted his voice heard, and so I was more diplomatic. I ultimately did get what it was that I wanted, but I achieved it in a much softer and probably more persuasive yet loyal way, if you will, and so both of those our leadership traits.
Okay, now, wait. I got to jump in here because I want to know. You should be. I want to know how would you evaluate the situation right now as far as you as a leader and him as a leader?
Okay, so perfect question because this is fascinating based on what you're propping up here as a dialogue is, and obviously I'm stalling because I'm not always very comfortable talking about my family.
I am loving the way this show is going today.
Everyone, he is watching me squirm like you would not believe. Okay. But actually, the answer is very honest and very appropriate for this conversation. So we are both entrepreneurs.
Please don't tell me he's in jail now.
No, not today. And so we are both entrepreneurs. Neither of my parents were not business owners. My dad was independently contracted through insurance companies. Uh-huh. So he was a self-made entrepreneurial spirit, if you will, with a connection, a lifeline to a company. But that is entrepreneurship in its own way, I suppose. But neither of my parents actually started or ran their own individual businesses. My brother and I, we both do. The difference is that my style is still a lot like it was in my family. I'm very much the cheerleader. I'm
diplomatic.
Diplomatic, uh-huh. Inspirational, motivational. But at the end of the day, I get the job done and people know where they stand because I'm also very consistent and very fair. And I think those are probably two of the most important leadership traits you can have in life and in business. My brother, on the other hand, is self-employed, has always been self-employed, has never once, ever, never, ever once, and wow. He is 40.
Never worked for anybody.
He's 50. He just turned 50. And he has only worked for himself. And it has not always been positive because when he had situations that he didn't feel were right, fair, or went his way, then he packed up and left and went somewhere else and started over. So he took with him his same personality trait that he has as a child, which is, this is my way, it's the highway. And if you don't want this way, then I'll leave and go find a new highway.
And does it work for him?
You know, I mean, he's still alive. He's not in jail.
She's stammering.
Let's just say that it wouldn't be my first choice of the way I would run my business, but not all leadership traits are the same, right?
So what works for one doesn't work for another.
What works for one, and that does fundamentally boil down to when you were asking me that original question about what would I do if you came to me and I had to decipher your leadership style. That's why that question is so important. And when you ask it, it wasn't a one clean cut answer, because based on what I would deduct from your leadership style would make a huge impact on what I would consult for you to do for your next step. So it kind of brings it all home.
All right. So before we get to Tracy's takeaways, we talked about the conventional aspects of leadership, right?
Right. But when you were asking me about my family, it actually led to me thinking about we compared and contrasted the leadership styles between myself and my brother. And what that led me to thinking is all about conventional versus non-conventional leadership roles. Now, when I'm talking about non-conventional leadership roles, I am not talking about the style that I just reflected on with my brother's business management style. I am talking about how important and how creative and how fun leaders can have. And again, we're talking about leadership across the board in doing non-conventional leading, if you will, of your team, your family, your organization, your church. And that is all about using unorthodox methods. Gosh,
say
I'm
that
having a hard
three
time
times
talking
fast.
Today. No kidding. Weird. I'm coming up with some encyclopedia words that I'm having a hard time pronouncing. So I'm talking specifically about unorthodox methods of leadership and how that can turn into a positive way. So
example.
So let's say you have a creative team and they're hitting a roadblock. Let's say we're in an ad agency, because that's very similar to both yours and my background. Uh-huh. So let's say that I own the ad agency and you're the production manager, and we have this really big account and we really have to pull out some like award-winning, like Oscar nominated creative for this thing.
Right.
And everybody is paralyzed with fear because they know they're good, but they can't for whatever reason produce under these circumstances because it's like a make or break our business client.
Situation, right.
So what I would do in that situation is I would completely take everyone and remove them from the building, and we would go like to an amusement park, let's say, if there was one nearby. And the whole idea would be is that you could ride rides and have fun and be outside and be in like a completely different environment, but one that would still stimulate creativity. Now, that's a pretty dramatic example.
No, it really, if you think about it, if you think of companies like Google and Apple, if you look at Google where they have, you know, these workspaces and work environments that are so unconventional, so unorthodox that I guess it seems to keep them in a creative mind. They are also, from what I understand, they are like forced to take vacations so they can reset their minds.
Exactly. And then there are just small things that you can do. And if you're within just an organization that doesn't provide the luxury of something that extravagant, is you can ask people to sit in a different seat. If you notice, when everyone comes into a meeting room, if you meet in the same room all the time, everyone always sits in their same seat. Uh-huh. So some simple little thing to get people frame of mind in a different way is just say, okay, everybody, like, change up your seats. We're not going to sit in the same place. So it's just
I like it.
I like it.
Okay, yeah. Coming up, guys. Monday is rearrange the office furniture day.
Yeah, just don't rip the chair out from under them like musical chairs. That does not work in a good leader.
She's tried that.
I will neither confirm nor deny.
All right, takeaways.
Takeaways. Well, we have covered a lot of them, or at least touched on them. So I will make our takeaways fairly quick for today. But in recap, I mentioned consistency is the key in successful leadership, and it absolutely is. You have got to walk the walk and talk the talk, or you cannot lead because no one will take you seriously. Mm-hmm. So my mom always used to say, do as I say, do not as I do.
Right.
That is not leadership. Leadership is do as I do and do as I say, do, because I'm doing what I say.
Right.
So that's walk the walk and talk the talk. We talked a lot about responsibility, so I'm just going to remind everybody that you are responsible for how you present yourself to the world in a leadership capacity, in just your own character traits, in any way that you step forward in the world. You're responsible, and that emulates yourself to others, and you never know who is watching and who is learning from you. And the other really fun kind of thing to really think about is that you don't have to sit around and wait to be the leader. Like we were saying, if you're in that situation and you have really great leadership traits, but they may not be being recognized at this point, go out and volunteer in an organization. They can use those leadership traits. Go and create a situation where you have the opportunity to utilize some of those skills and have other people benefit from them, and also use them in other ways, reflecting back onto your business, like being that brand ambassador,
so,
or taking initiative and showing that.
Is this like a way to practice your leadership skills when you say to do that, charitable?
I think that is a really interesting perspective on it, and it could be very valuable, especially if you're new to the idea of leadership. Like one of your goals in life might be to be a CEO or a management role, or to be a founder or operator of your own business. You can always stick your toe in the water with situations where, you know, you get to be the lead in the book club or become the treasurer in the organization
right.
that you volunteer with. And that way you kind of feel like, in that perspective, how I would answer that is you get to test whether leadership feels right for you, because not everybody wants to be a leader. And that's something that we did not touch on, but I think is really important, is that not everybody wants to be a leader. Otherwise, we'd have all chiefs and no Indians,
so to speak.
We
have a problem.
Yeah, so test it out. Test the waters before you get into a situation where your livelihood depends on it, and just see if it is something for you that you want to pursue. That's a great perspective.
You know, I like it because everybody has a level of leadership. I love this episode. And it's just a matter of this episode is actually almost forcing people to tap into their leadership. It's something that's been there and maybe lying dormant, and you have a way that you've been practicing it, but you might want to make some adjustments. So
right.
It kind of goes back to childhood. If you're a mom or dad, do do not encourage your kids to bully their classmates so your child could be a line leader. But but take pride in the fact that if they have that urge, maybe they're a future leader of America.
Maybe,
or they could be a future inmate. So what's the best way to go about leadership?
So leadership is your responsibility, and our episode today hopefully is a reminder of that, but also an encouragement to lead in your own style, in your own way, even if it is unconventional.
It's the one man party or one woman party.
Party one.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us at the intersection between personal and business growth. Our next Journey to Their episode deals with something that can actually make or break your success. Tick tock, tick tock.
Do we have time for that?
Maybe we should make time for it.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.